seekers to the one and only Mike Malloy Show. There we go. Now I can hear me. Can you hear me, Tony? Everything's rocking? We're rocking from the left coast, coast to coast, and around the globe. It is the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. I am your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, blogger, here again for just three more hours, filling out the week as Mike and Kathy enjoy the last, the final hours of their staycation this week, their summer staycation. Glad you can be joining, glad you're joining me tonight, and I hope they are resting up because good old Mike Malloy will be returning on Monday. Mark your calendars. In the meantime, it is I, Brad, broadcasting live from Los Angeles, from beautiful downtown Burbank, in the KTalk AM 1150 building. Glad to be here. Glad you can be here with me. And one thing, you know, we had so much breaking news last night that I had planned a whole bunch of time for your calls to get you in, to let you use your public airwaves. And I feel like I have to remind you, and I feel like I have to remind the world that these airwaves do not belong to Clear Channel, to Disney, to Viacom, to GE, MSNBC, Warner Brothers. Take your pick. They belong to you. They are the people's airwaves. And as I like to say, use them or lose them even more than you already have. You can call us this week, tonight, this week. That's all we got left is tonight. 877-520-1150 is our number. Don't bother the Malloys. Let them have some peace and quiet, people. Call us instead. 877-520-1150. I've got a few things that I want to talk about, but you know what? If you get in and you got something you want to talk about that I'm more interested in, maybe I'll go to you instead. 877-520-1150. You can also tweet me over on Twitter. My Twitter name is TheBradBlog. So tweet me at The Brad Blog, and as a matter of fact, I promised a little bit earlier today that as soon as I get to 1,450 followers, I think it is, I will tweet the, I will follow Friday, the last three people, whoever they are. It's free. It's a payoff for your efforts of following me at The Brad Blog on Twitter. So it's a free follow Friday. Yes, it's a quid pro quo. Coming up on tonight's show, other than your calls. Oh, and at the chat room. Please stop by the chat room at bradblog.com. Jeannie Dean and Desi Doyen are our lovely hostesses tonight. Again, in the chat room. They'll be with you all night long. And it's a very lively bunch over there. Has been all week. Want to thank you, bradblog.com chatters, for joining us throughout the week. And I'm looking forward to tonight as well. So stop on by. It's free. You jump on in. You raise hell. You make noise. You do what we all ought to be doing. What else do I have to take care of? Okay, I got the chat. I got the pack. Coming up on tonight's show, bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by former Florida computer programmer, whistleblower, Clint Curtis. Some of you may know him. He has moved from Florida to California. And guess what? He's running for the U.S. Congress. You want a straight shooter in the Congress? This would be your man, Clint Curtis. If you're not familiar with his extraordinary story of whistleblowing, check it out at bradblog.com/Clint Curtis. Or you can stop by his website, clintcurtis.com. So he's going to update us very quickly at the bottom of the hour to let us know what he has been up to and what his what is the outlook for the 4th Congressional District up there in California, where he'll be running against Tom McClintock, the incumbent Republican. Also, we will be joined by a Dallas-based computer programmer, system designer, longtime dedicated Democratic Party activist who don't like me at all. As a matter of fact, he sent an email a couple of weeks ago to Mike Malloy and told him that I was amongst the reasons, and he gave three, and I'll give you all those three in the next hour, why he was canceling his podcast subscription to the Mike Malloy Show. Mike sent me the email, and I said, you know what, let's have this guy on, and let's talk to him, and let's hear his grievances, and in the bargain, let's see if we can get you about, oh, I don't know, 10, 15, 20, 1,000 podcast subscribers to replace Gordon Peterson, who says that, let's see, he cringes every time I guest host the Mike Malloy show. He thinks I'm, quote, election-wise clueless, and he believes we should have more computers in our election system rather than less. He will be joining us. We'll hear his complaints and what he doesn't like about me and what he does like about computers, unverifiable computers, unoverseeable computers in our voting system. He'll be with us later today. You know what? If you're out there, and I'm not going to make this an NPR pitch here, but the fact is, freedom ain't free, as they like to say, and the support for progressive media, your support for progressive media really does make a difference. You can get the Mike Malloy podcasts, even if you don't listen to podcasts. You are supporting progressive media. If you jump over there, if you sign up, you can sign up for 1 month. It's like $8, $7.95, something like that. Otherwise, you can get one for a whole year, about $59, I think. Now, I know that everyone listening to this show, just about everyone listening to this show, probably pays about that same amount for their cable bill each month to watch crap. How about we support the public airwaves? How about we support our public airwaves and the progressive people, the people like Mike, who are fighting like hell for you? And it helps make up for Gordon Peterson, who canceled his subscription. You can also, alternately, by the way, support your favorite progressive media. And we hear all the time, you progressives out there are complaining, and you Democrats and you liberals, oh, the media is so bad, they're not doing this and that. Yes, they are, because the wingnuts out there support their wingnut media, and then they bully the mainstream media, the non-wingnut media, the theoretically legitimate media. They bully them into reporting whatever the hell that the wing nuts want them to report. And if you don't believe me, just ask Acorn, okay? Just ask them, because they're all but gone, because the media, the non-wingnut media, like New York Times, Washington Post, AP, etc., ran with the wingnut BS and killed one of the most, if not the most important, progressive, liberal organizations, anti-poverty, pro-democracy organizations in this nation. And we sit around and we do nothing about it. Well, do something about it, okay? Please, put your money where your mouth is. If it's not the Malloy Show podcasts, and of course, bradblog.com, we take subscriptions as well. Not subscriptions, donations as well. But whoever your favorite media is, when you're out there reading, I don't care, who it is. Almost all of the progressive, rawstory.com. Somebody go make a donation to rawstory.com. For Christ's sakes, they have been fighting the good fight, doing the investigative reporting that the mainstream media refuses to do for years. Support them. Put your money where your mouth is. All right. I didn't mean to go off on that tangent, but I did. 877-520-1150. We complain. I've been listening in the last couple of weeks. Mike has been similarly at the end of his rope. And he's been talking about, I hope the Republicans win this fall, and then they win in 2012, and they take over the White House, and they take over the Congress. And it gets so damn bad that everything falls apart, and we've got to rebuild this nation from scratch, and it's going to get bloody. And I've heard him saying that. And, he's kind of got a point. Because this system is so screwed up. It's so intolerably screwed up. There is so much corporate control of everything. And I mean everything. And not just control of decisions that are made, of laws that are made, of the courts, but also of the way that you think. So I'm going to offer a bit of an alternative. I may not be able to get to all of it this hour, but later in the show, perhaps. But a bit of an alternative to burning down the House, as may happen if Republicans, crazy, crazy Republicans, are allowed to take over again this country that they ran so far into the ground before. An alternative: think different, act different, pay attention to what matters. And I'm talking to you progressives. Pay attention to what matters. No. In truth, Fox News, Sarah Palin, all that crap doesn't really matter. What does? We'll talk about it a little bit when I return here. Maybe I'll get to some of your calls before we go to Clint Curtis. 877-520-1150. Use your airwaves. Make things better. Don't give up. Don't roll over. There is a solution. We all just got to figure out what the hell it is and start taking care of business. More on The Mike Malloy Show with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com right after this. To burn down the house. We'll come up with a solution here. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Clint Curtis is going to be joining us shortly. And your calls, 877-520-1150. Plus a guy who wishes Mike Malloy would find someone less, quote, less stupidly political and election-wise clueless to guest host your show than Brad Friedman is. That's me. Glad you could join us tonight. Burning down, we don't have to burn down the house. That's not our only option, is it? Maybe it is. But I don't think so. Here's the deal. It's the framing. Everything has become, it is like bizarro world. It is a crazy, no, granted, we are far, far down the rabbit hole. We have been for years now. We've been for the last decade, at the very least, down the rabbit hole where up is down, down is up, black is white, white is black. It is crazy. It is insane. But we spend so much time dealing with the insanity instead of the things that matter, instead of thinking it through. We have so much knee-jerkism out there, so much knee-jerk blogging out there, and I mean on the progressive side, that this world has become so amazingly warped. Here's an example. The Obama U.S. attorney is expected to stand behind the federal gay marriage ban. According to plaintiffs, yesterday we had the breaking news that a district court judge in Massachusetts found that the Defense of Marriage Act, this insane federal act, this insane restriction that was put in place in 1996, signed by Bill Clinton, and now being supported by the Obama administration, a judge yesterday found it unconstitutional. Yes! Finally, a judge that hasn't been bastardized by this madness out there and who says, wait a minute, I read the Constitution. And no, you can't keep rights from certain people. Equal protection under the law. The 10th Amendment. States' rights, these things that used to be conservative ideas, and by the way, and I mean real conservatives, not the phony conservatives like that guy who called in Billy from Austin yesterday, if you heard his call. If you didn't, I put it up at bradblog.com. It was rather amusing. But this judge, he was a Nixon appointee, What kind of world are we living in where Nixon was the reasonable Republican? Ronald Reagan is starting to look pretty good. John Ashcroft at the Department of Justice. Boy, I wish we had him back. I mean, that's the kind of world Bill O'Reilly is starting to look sane. Anybody else notice this, or is it just me? This is how far the Overton window has moved. This is how far to the right we are in every regard. So we find a sane judge who says, yeah, that's unconstitutional. You can't say that, these people who are married under the law, under the constitutional state law in the state of Massachusetts, who are married to each other just because they're the same sex, that they're not entitled to these federal rights that are due to everyone else. Social Security, Medicare, the rights that a husband and wife would have. You can't do that. Thank God for this guy. Thank God for this judge. But the word here is that the Obama Department of Justice is going to be challenging this. What? They're going to be appealing it. At least so says the plaintiffs. I hope they don't. I hope they come to their senses. You can read about the story over at rawstory.com. Sahil Kapoor and John Byrne, excellent reporters, still with us here in the real world, are covering this story over at rawstory.com tonight. But the Obama administration is just going like they're, what? Huh? It's crazy. So we've got to change the way we think. We've got to focus on what matters. That's why I focus on things that matter, like election reform, like media reform, the things that matter. We'll get to talk about it a little bit more in the third hour, no doubt. But I ain't ready to throw in the towel, peeps. We're going to keep fighting this fight. We're going to win. We're going to make sense of it. But we're going to hold you and me accountable, progressives accountable. We can blame Republicans and wingnuts all we want, but it ain't up to them. It's up to us. Brad on The Malloy Show, Clint Curtis next. Choice, Tone. Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy for one more. Excuse me. One more night. I choked on my own self there. Almost swallowed my own tongue. I'm so excited. For one more night, Mike and Kathy will be returning next Monday. So this is my last night with you for a while. But maybe I get to go on vacation after this. We'll see. It's been a hell of a week, that's for sure. Lots of great archives you can check out at bradblog.com from this week. But when I'm gone, so are the free podcast archives every night. So might I suggest you stop by mikemalloy.com and subscribe at least for a month to make up for my guest in the next hour, Gordon Peterson, who canceled his podcast subscription in no small part because he doesn't like it when I guest host and talk about things like elections, and he thinks we should have more computers in our voting system rather than less. Before I go to Clint Curtis here shortly, I want to just close a bit of a loop from the last segment, and then we'll talk about this more later in the show in the third hour. But you're talking about thinking outside the box and how bizarre this world has come and just how warped the media is and how warped the thinking of just about everybody, even on the progressive side. And these are the people that we can hold accountable. But you, your neighbors, but the media and the framing of the elected officials, it's insane. For example, I'm driving over here listening to actually NPR on the way over here, and there was some right-wing pundit on there talking about Michael Steele and all the fire that he's getting now, and they're talking about, and she says, well, if we got rid of him, there would be all kinds of cries of racism if he was removed. Huh? What? And this went unchallenged. The host on NPR, the big, they're the left wing, right? They got Fox on the right, and we have NPR on the left. What? NPR on the left? National Petroleum Radio? Are you kidding me? Nobody challenged this. Cries of racism if Michael Steele is thrown out. Who's going to cry the racism? Everybody's going to cry, well, because he was an idiot. He was a yutz. He did a crappy job. He didn't know what he was talking about. He's insane. He's a loon. He's a stooge. Nobody's going to cry racism. And yet, that went unchallenged. I've talked before on the Green News Report about BP, and I've talked a little bit about it over at bradblog.com, and you know, a lot of people out there mad at BP. Of course they're mad at BP. BP is a horrible corporation who has done a horrible thing, horribly irresponsible. Yes, they're bad guys, but guess what? We knew they were bad guys before they showed up. That's why we have government regulators. Now, we know for the last 10 years, of course, that George Bush didn't do a damn thing with the government regulators other than, you know, get chummy with the lobbyists or hire them and make them the regulators. MMS, you know, was completely destroyed. The Minerals Management Service. No, not the Mike Malloy Show. Also MMS. corrupt like you can't even... Corrupt like it's nobody's business. But guess what? We knew that. And Obama knew that coming in. And Obama had 15 months before this oil rig blew up. What did he do about it? What kind of accountability did he get out of all of these corrupt jackasses who were giving away the farm out of the MMS? Not much. Not much. And who is holding him accountable? He is in charge now. Democrats are in charge now. Yes, we know the bad guys are bad. That is why we need government to keep the bad guys from being bad. We also know, by the way, that government often sucks. That's why we need a media to hold government in check. And the media has dropped the ball, too. So everybody has dropped the ball, and you and me and we, the people, we are the ones who are screwed. So, yes, we know that BP is bad. Stop talking about it. Let's start talking about the government officials who didn't do their damn jobs. And it's not a right or left. It's not a Republican or a Democrat thing. It's a right and wrong thing. Yes, someone needed to be thrown in jail in the Bush administration. They still do. But the message that was sent by the Obama administration was, you can do anything you want. We will not hold you accountable. So you can do anything you want. You can keep doing anything you want. And guess what? That's what Obama is still doing. When are we going to hold Obama accountable? Ken Salazar needs to go. So we know BP's bad. Don't bore me with more facts about how bad they are. Last point here before I go to Clint Curtis. Last night I said again in this fight with this jackass who wanted to, who claimed he was a conservative but thought that there shouldn't be same-sex marriage. I said, "Well, are you then? You ain't a conservative, pal. I'm the conservative. I believe in the rule of law. I believe in the Constitution, and the, you know, the equal protection under the law and states' rights and keeping the government the hell out of our lives." So, yes, I am the conservative. And yet we give this free gift to all of these right-wingers out there, these Republican teabaggers who are not conservative. They call themselves conservative, and we let them do it because we call them conservatives too. Stop it. Stop calling them conservatives. They're not conservative. They're right-wingers. They're wingnuts. They're Republicans. They ain't conservative. You and I are conservative. You and I, who don't think we ought to be nation building around the world, who don't think we ought to be spending trillions and trillions of dollars, unfunded mandates on wars around the country. We are the conservatives. It is the way that we talk about it. And it is the way that we hold the media accountable when they don't talk about it correct. When they go in there and they call George Bush a conservative, Karl Rove, a conservative. They ain't conservatives. Let's start holding their feet to the fire. We got to think outside the box, people. We'll talk about it more. See, I've gotten myself all worked up. We'll talk about this more in later in the show. A man who has been thinking outside the box, and who is, by the way, a conservative, a real one, a progressive conservative, joins me now. Former Florida computer programmer, whistleblower, Clint Curtis, whose story of being asked to create a touchscreen vote rigging software prototype for now by now happily former congressman from Florida, Republican Congressman Tom Feeney, is told in the film Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies, the Clint Curtis story. You can get more information at votinglies.com. The documentary is based in large part on the reporting of the Brad blog, which originally broke the alarming story of Clint Curtis in December of 2004, and we have been reporting on it and him ever since. You can get the full backstory, of course, at bradblog.com/Clint Curtis. Well, after running against Feeney himself a couple of years ago and being undermined in the process by Democrats of the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, Clint has now moved to California, where he's decided to toss his hat in the ring again against 4th District Republican Tom McClintock in Northern California. He joins me now to say, so I can say, hey, Clint, welcome to California.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
And welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, my friend. Thanks for joining us tonight. Are you glad to be here? How's Northern California?
It's great. The weather is fine. It's not 180 degrees heat index. It's amazing.
Have any congressmen asked you to create vote rigging software prototypes since you've been here?
Well, not here, no. I'm a little surprised they haven't. But
is that right? Well, the year is young. We're still a few months away from November. So, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're continuing the fight. I will say, Clint, in all the years that I've been covering you, I have found you to be extraordinarily courageous, a straight shooter, someone who cuts through the crap. Some of the stuff I've been talking about, I don't know if you've been able to hear some of my ranting tonight. Sorry about that. So why are you running here for Congress in California? Let's just cut to that chase for the moment.
Well, I came here, so I finished up law school, came here to become a lawyer, you know, make some money and make a difference, because you can make a lot more difference as an attorney than you ever can as a programmer. You're kind of locked into your
Well, now, wait a minute.
There.
Tom Feeney apparently offered you $1 million as a computer programmer to leave town and not take a job. You could have made a lot more money doing that.
Well, that is true, but that's illegal, and, you know, I don't do that. So.
Oh, okay. All of a sudden, you're against illegal things. Okay.
I know. It's really odd that, you know, we don't do it that way, but that's not the way it should be done.
Always has
to be made
always has been a,
also.
Always has been a flaw of yours, Clint, you and that rule of law thing. Okay, so why are you running? You can make some more money than as a lawyer than you can as a computer programmer.
Well, we can also make a difference, because right now, no one listens to each other. We all have our own little box that basically Karl Rove put us in, and we haven't broken out of it yet. So what I'm going to do in my district, if I win, and in my office, is I'm going to bring the other parties in, the third parties, and give them a spot as congressional aides where we can sit down, talk things over, cut through all the lies, because, you know, most of it, if you listen to Fox News, you can just go, you know, minute by minute and go, well, that's wrong, and that's wrong, and that's wrong, but there's no one to challenge it. And most of these people believe it because that's what they've been told over and over and over again.
So how is it? Yeah, go ahead.
If they investigate it themselves as a unit, and we will learn while they will learn, we can cut through all that. And we can bring in the progressives. We can bring in the libertarians. We can even bring in the American independents. And we can have a real discussion based on real facts. And just cut through all the garbage.
Well, all right. Well, that's fine. You can have a discussion based on real facts within your office, within these people you're talking about bringing in. And by the way, I love the idea. I think it's a great idea. So you're reaching out to Republican voters as well and folks as well?
Republican voters as well.
Okay. So
you're bringing in the Tea Party because they're not officially a party, and I can't find any way to talk to these people, so.
Okay, so if there are any non-insane Republicans, you might invite them in. Green Party folks, Libertarian Party folks, progressives, you're going to make them a part of your kitchen cabinet, if you will?
Absolutely. There are a lot of good ones out there that aren't able to win, but they have a lot of good ideas, and they have a lot of energy. Marcy Winograd ran a good race down in your neck of the woods, actually.
Yeah.
And has a lot of good ideas and a lot of energy. And, you know, I would like to have her come into my campaign, and if we win, be there to actually work on these things.
Bring her to it. You would bring Marcy Winograd to Washington if you won and if she would accept?
Oh, absolutely.
Have you talked to her about this? I love the idea. I really do. Now, and this is different than, I'll ask you how this is different. How is this different from Obama, who says, I'm going to have Republicans and Democrats, and we're all going to get along and all going to compromise? How is your plan any different, Clint Curtis?
Because he actually thought that he could bridge the gap simply by trying to get a bipartisan system.
Uh-huh.
And bipartisan will not work because we are so far apart on everything. Even our rhetoric is different.
Yeah.
So we can't hit the middle. It is impossible to come to the middle.
Right.
If we bring in the third parties, then we can bring everybody together because they are the middle, and they will be able to cross over. And by generating this knowledge base, the information will get out.
Well, let me recommend, if you're up there, if you're listening in the 4th Congressional District, Northern California, you'll be running against Tom McClintock, who won 2 years ago against Charlie Brown in a very close race, by the way. There was a hand recount that went on for weeks after the election. So in
1,800 votes.
What's that? How many?
1,800
votes. In theory, Tom McClintock is beatable. So you're talking about bringing sane Republicans, if you can find them, sane libertarians, sane green people, voters and officials and so forth, Marcy Winograd, progressives, bringing them all to Washington. Frankly, I love the idea. And, you know what? Well, let me keep you around. Can you stick around for just a few more minutes here, Clint?
Sure.
Okay. I got a few more questions for you. Clint Curtis running as a Democrat. He won 100% of the vote in the primary, didn't you, Clint?
Absolutely.
Okay. Who was your opponent?
There was no opponent.
All right. Smartly done. Clint Curtis is going to be sticking around with us for just a few more minutes here. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Mike Malloy program. Check out, by the way, ClintCurtis.com. Speaking of helping people who want to fight the good fight, who will fight the good fight, Clint Curtis is one of them. Take it to the bank from me, Brad Friedman. Much more here on the Mike Malloy Show, straight ahead with Clint, and then a guy who really hates me. Over Clint Curtis. He's bringing people together in his congressional campaign up there in the 4th Congressional District in California. I suspect he could use your support at ClintCurtis.com. He's my guest for just a few more minutes here. Former computer programmer and electronic voting whistleblower. His story is startling. I can't recommend. Well, please, you can go to votinglies.com. You can get a copy of the documentary there that tells his story, Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies, the Clint Curtis story. It's absolutely terrifying, horrifying. Believe me, I know. I reported it for the last 4 years. I am in that movie. It's not my film, but I am in it. But it's good anyway. Welcome back, Clint Curtis, to the Mike Malloy Show. We got just a few more minutes here, and so let's get in some questions for you. I know you've been a critic of e-voting, even as a computer programmer, unlike my next guest in the next hour, who loves it, thinks we should have more computers in our voting system. But what sort of voting systems do they use up there in the 4th District where you are running against Republican incumbent Tom McClintock, and what the hell makes you think you can get a legitimate election result count up there?
Well, California, part that impressed me about California and the people was when all of this came out and I was reporting on what the problems were and how to check for them and how to find them and how to correct them, Deborah Bowen of California was one of the people that actually, you know, took it to heart and worked on it and found out what the system was and revamped it. And California has one of the best systems around.
And that ain't saying much, by the way. But go ahead.
Well, not compared to South Carolina.
Well, yeah.
You know, it has nothing.
Right.
But in this area, it's mainly paper. They still have the electronic machine sitting in the corner, usually untouched and unused, which shows what its value is.
Right.
But essentially, we're mostly paper. And they run them through the scanner. They don't do audits like I'd like for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm elected, I'll make sure they do that. I will push through a bill that makes sure there is an audit done on everything that isn't hand-counted.
Everything that isn't hand-counted. Yeah, let's hand-count them. That sounds like a good idea, or at least have pilot programs to see how it works. Because as you know, Clint, you can game those op scanners as well. I got a question. Got a question from the chat room, and we only have about a minute here or so. But why no criminal investigation? Well, actually, well, okay, I'll just ask you: why no criminal investigation of Tom Feeney, who you have alleged in no uncertain terms, and you in an affidavit, in testimony before Congress, videotaped, everyone could see this sworn testimony, a polygraph test. You've alleged that Tom Feeney asked you to create touchscreen vote rigging software some years ago. Why has there been no investigation into that, in your opinion?
Well, I'm not sure if there was or there wasn't. There was an investigation of him with the Abramoff affair and with several other corruption issues,
mm-hmm.
and there was a large ongoing investigation, but it died because all of the records for those events he kept in his congressional office, and as we know, that means they're not allowed to look at them.
He did have to make an apology. He did have to repay some money. He went on that trip with Abramoff. He's the one that, you know, nobody knows. Bob Ney went to Scotland with Abramoff. Tom DeLay went to Scotland with Abramoff. The third guy was Tom Feeney. And he has really flown under the radar, although you were helpful, I believe, in removing him from office. Thank God. Okay, Clint, I got to get out, but good luck in this race. We're going to have more on your story. We've got an in-depth interview with you that Brad blogger Jim Cyril has put together. We'll be having that in the coming weeks. Good luck in your fight. The website is ClintCurtis.com. Yes?
Great to be on, sir.
All right. ClintCurtis.com, running in the 4th Congressional District. You want to support a progressive who thinks outside of the box? With courage and commitment, this is your man, ClintCurtis.com. I guess that's an endorsement. Thank you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Guy Who Doesn't Like Me, coming up right after this. Minutes after the hour, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Yes, I am Brad of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and guy who is not liked much by my next guest, Gordon Peterson. He will be joining us in a few moments. I want to update you, however, I've decided to change my offer over on Twitter. If you follow me tonight, anyone who joins to follow me tonight at the Twitters gets a free Follow Friday from me. I'll do it later tonight. So, yes, quid pro quo. I am paying you off. You get a free Follow Friday. And if you're a Twitter person, if you're a tweep, you know what that means. And I'm told by Topsy.com that the Brad blog is influential. So you want to be Follow Friday'd by me, don't you? So stop on by. I am the Brad blog over at Twitter. I'm also keeping my eyes as best I can on the chat room, being held down smartly by the lovely Jeannie Dean and Desi Doyen. And we are going to get to your calls in the next hour. Nothing but your calls. Maybe we'll get some in this hour. But anyway, next hour, 877-520-1150. You can get in anytime you want. Okay, as promised, a couple months ago, this gentleman from Dallas sent Mike Malloy an email. I think it was I don't even think I had been guest hosting any time around this date. This was just a few weeks ago, about a month ago. But he sent a letter to Mike and listed some reasons why he was going to be dropping his podcast subscription. Mike sent me this email. I said, well, you know what? Let's have the guy on and let's see if we can get you some podcast subscribers to make up for the one you lost in no small part because of me. Gordon is going to be joining us. Gordon Peterson is going to be joining us shortly, but I want to read his email, an edited version of it. I may have to read fast. I want to get in as much as I can of it, so to be as fair as possible to let you understand what his concerns were. He wrote, Mike, a little over a year ago, and like I say, I'm editing this for time, but I'm not taking out anything that's important here. Mike, a little over a year ago, I splurged and subscribed for a podcast subscription. I live in Dallas and usually hear you stream through KTLK Los Angeles, which is where we're broadcasting from tonight. Let's see. He gave three reasons, however, why he is going to be canceling, why he has canceled his podcast subscription. The first one had to do with his work as a computer consulting, as a computer person, basically, that he was had lost some business. The economy is bad, some hard times here. So that was the first reason, lack of funds. Okay. Fair enough. That's fine. And I won't go into the specifics there. Second, he writes, I am offended by your saying that you'll never vote Democratic again. While I agree with you that some Democratic candidates have been somewhat of a disappointment in office, and I say that as myself being a Texas Democratic State Convention Obama delegate, please let us never forget the worst. Those are all caps. Democratic candidates are in virtually every case better and usually dramatically better than the best of the Republican candidates. Who the F are you going to vote for? Some nasty, evil Republican? Or are you going to vote as a matter of principle for a Green or Libertarian candidate with no chance of winning, only so that by splitting the progressive vote, we end up getting the Republican candidate by some combination of default and political naivete, stupidity? Sorry, I think that's just biting your nose to spite our collective national face. That's the second reason. All right, here we go. Now we get to the fun part. Third, every time you have Brad Friedman on, I cringe. One of the things I do as part of my personal political activism is that I have worked for almost 15 years as an election judge or clerk here in Dallas County. I've worked at the polls on election day. I've worked during early voting. I've worked on signature verification processing mail-in ballots. I've attended election training classes. I've been involved in Election Protection's technology group, whatever that is. I've worked analyzing data from the Dallas County voter registration bases, databases. I've helped verify voters signing ballot access petitions for Democratic candidates trying to get on the ballot. I've worked as a voter registration deputy registrant on top of being a precinct chair, working on numerous committees here in the Dallas County Democratic Party and more. I've been heavily involved in the election process from many angles and for more than a decade. Brad Friedman's position that the only way to produce an honest election is to get rid of the computers and revert to hand-marked, hand-counted paper ballots is ill-conceived and ridiculously naive. Okay, now I'm going to interject a little bit as we go. I haven't said that it's the only way. What I have said is that hand-counting is the only at the precinct level. Is the only way that I'm currently aware of, having looked at, investigated, and reported on this issue very closely with a very open mind for much of the past decade, it's the only way that I know of that is actually transparent, that is overseeable by the citizenry, that is verifiable, that allows us to have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. We the people, self-government. Self-governance, no, concealed vote counting doesn't work. It is antithetical to democracy. All right, back to Gordon's letter. He says, here in Dallas County, we have something like 500 polling locations on election day. By the time that we get polls closed, we judges and clerks have been up for something like 14 hours and are damned tired. To presume that we are in any condition to start counting ballots by hand after the polls close is ridiculous. Well, yes, Gordon, I would agree. It is ridiculous. I've never asked for poll workers to stay around and to count after their in ridiculously long shifts they're already asked to do. And by the way, thank you, Gordon, for being a poll worker. No, a new crew should be brought on, as I've argued. A new crew should be brought in to count, one that we can easily, by the way, afford to pay properly, as well as paying the regular poll workers properly. As long as we don't waste millions and millions of dollars on computers by private companies that don't work, that have concealed vote counting, that are not transparent, and that require expensive maintenance contracts on them. Millions could be saved and given to you, Gordon, and you could then afford a Molloy podcast subscription. Going back to Gordon here. Brad says that we can have another team come in and take over from the election judge. That's right. And they can do the count. As it is, we can't get enough election judges to work on election day, and that's why we have to consolidate so many precincts into a reduced number of polling places. No, Gordon, that's not why. If you got rid of all the computers, you could afford to pay people properly. But as far as finding election people to come in and count, one of the big problems is that we have election on a Tuesday when most people are at work. But a counting crew could come in when the polls close at 8 o'clock, whatever it is, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, after work, and they're only going to be in there for 2 or 3 or 4 hours. No, not these 14-hour days that you, sir, have to work every time. And again, I thank you for that. And you don't get enough money, and I want to get you more money for it. But no, in New Hampshire, where 40% of the jurisdictions are counted by hand, they have no problems, as I understand it. That's what I'm told. They have no problems getting people to come in and count by hand. All right. Back to Gordon. Even if we could find other teams to count the vote, to presume that those teams are more honest, trustworthy, and competent than we existing election workers are is completely unsupportable by any rational facts, says Gordon. Well, Gordon, that argument has no rational facts behind it because, in truth, nobody has ever argued that any counting team or anybody else, any election official, at least I haven't, is more honest, trustworthy, or competent than existing election officials. As a matter of fact, the best election officials, the best election workers will tell you, don't trust me. I am not to be trusted. And they are right. And I'm talking about the best ones, guys like Ion Sancho down in Leon County, Florida. Freddie Oakley up here in Yolo County. Don't trust me. They're right. You have to be able to oversee your election officials, your elections, the counts. It's not about trusting anybody. It's about the citizens being able to verify it for themselves. That's why we want to count ballots publicly at the precincts, decentralized, with observers from all parties, all stakeholders in front of the entire citizenry, video cameras rolling, etc., and the results posted at the precinct publicly before the ballots move anywhere. This is a very difficult system to game, Gordon, and anyone who's listening and who doesn't understand how hand counting works. Back to Gordon. Brad's laughable contention is that the honest counting will be assured by having news crews and video cameras watching the counting to make sure if it's done right, that's equally ridiculous. Here in Dallas County, we would need hundreds of news crews with video cameras, one at each polling place. No possible way that that could ever happen. Maybe in smaller counties they could get away with it, but certainly not in very large one. Well, I don't think you need a news crew. I can't imagine that 500 polling places in Dallas. You think you can find 500 people with a cell phone that have video cameras on it? You think you can find 500 people with video cameras who would bring them in to participate in their democracy? It ain't that hard. It ain't that expensive. And oh, by the way, we could, you know, go ahead and buy them for next to nothing. They were giving them away in the last election to video the vote was. Plenty of people with video cameras. Remember, everybody, every party, every citizen who wants to be there, all the stakeholders are there. They're watching everything. It's a very difficult system to game. All right. We're going to come back with more of Gordon's email, and then he will be joining us his own self. Hopefully, I haven't misrepresented anything he's got here. I'm not trying to, and we'll get his opinions and your thoughts if you want. 877-520-1150. Why Gordon Peterson canceled his Mike Malloy podcast subscription. Make up for it. Go get one. Your vote for clean elections. Brad, in for Malloy. More ahead. Me? Crazy? Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. at least unless Gordon Peterson has anything to say about it. He will be joining me next as my guest. He don't like me at all. He canceled his podcast subscription to Mike Malloy in no small part because of me. We're reading his email. I'm responding to it, and then he will be joining us. I want to be as fair as possible to him. He said one of the reasons was financial reasons. Two, he objected to Mike Malloy's call, I guess, to he felt he was Mike was taking it out on Democrats too much, all of the disasters we're facing. And Gordon is a Democratic activist, Democratic Party activist from down there in Dallas. All right, continuing with his letter, the reason he doesn't like me is because of my ridiculous concern about electronic voting. And he thinks that hand counting is just not practical for various reasons that I've covered up till now, and we'll hit a few more and we'll talk to him about it in a second. All right. So continuing with his letter, he says, Brad's basic presumption that hand-marked paper ballots solve problems is also naive and fatally flawed. We all saw too well in the Frank and Coleman race in Minnesota just how many ways there are to hand-mark paper ballots in completely ambiguous ways that produce nothing but debate afterwards as to what the voter's actual intention was. Okay, well, Gordon, actually, what happened, what we saw in Frank and Coleman in that race, what we learned was how important that hand counting is. Because out of millions of ballots that were cast in that race, some 3 million ballots, there was absolute unanimous agreement on how to count each one of them, how to determine the voter intent on every single one, on all but something like 8 or 11 ballots. I can't remember the number, 12, 11, 13, something like that. Other than that, there was complete unanimous agreement on the voter intent, whether it was for Coleman, for Franken, for nobody at all. So no, we learned that being able to hand count ballots is, in fact, the gold standard. We've known that for a long time. That's why in close elections, what do? They count the ballots by hand. If it's good enough for close elections, you would think it's good enough for every election, but Gordon doesn't seem to think so. All right, reading on, continuing on. He says, even just hand-marking ballots produces, by design, ballots that can easily enough be tampered with after the fact by adding extraneous marks to them, converting a straight party ticket by ticket vote by adding a crossover vote for specific candidates, converting a legal vote to an overvote, and thus canceling the legal vote, and so forth. And this is made even harder to detect when the county running the election provides officials pens for marking for voters to mark their ballots and so forth, making it harder to discern which marks were made by the real voter and so forth. Now, apparently he hasn't been listening or reading the Brad blog or listening to me because I've spoken very clearly about how it works. And you can look up hand counting. I might suggest Nancy Toby's booklet, Hands-On Elections, which talks about very clearly. You mark the paper ballot, you put it in a Lucite box on the table so that everybody can look at it all day long, and then it's opened at the end of the day and counted in front of everyone, of all parties, all citizens, video cameras, and no, not people with pens in their hands. Good luck trying to mark up those ballots. And if they do, good luck doing it in enough precincts that it's going to make a difference. Because remember, it's a decentralized count. It's posted at the precinct. If those numbers changed after the publicly observed hand count, there are going to be some splaining to do. All right. Hand-marked ballots. Let's see. Let me press on here. Hand-marked ballots, paper ballots, do little or nothing to prevent obvious mistakes like overvotes and undervotes. Common example is a voter who votes a straight party ticket, doesn't realize they have not voted in a race where their chosen party doesn't have a candidate running and so forth. Of course, that's right, Gordon. We can't hold everybody's hand. There will be mistakes. And frankly, I have no problems with an optical scanner at the precinct if it doesn't count, if it just you slide it through to check your ballot and give you a second chance to vote if there's an overvote. You can't warn about every undervote. No, we don't do that. No, we shouldn't do that because people purposely choose to not undervote. I'm sorry, they choose to not vote in certain races. And they do undervote. We don't want to set off an alarm every time that happens. Okay. We're going to get to some of his suggestions. He's going to tell us that he needs more computers rather than less, that is the solution. And I'll finish off his letter a little bit here. Then we'll bring him on in the next segment. Should I leave out the mean stuff he said about me? No, we'll read that in the next segment, too. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Mike Malloy Show. Gordon Peterson will be joining us next to tell me why I suck. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. We are friends. Welcome back, friends, to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of radblog.com, about to be joined by Gordon Peterson, a Dallas-based computer programmer, Democratic Party activist. He will join me in a second. I'm just finishing up trying to do a quick edit of his email here that he had sent to Mike Malloy to explain why it was that he was canceling his podcast subscription. I hope you will make up for that by getting one over at MikeMalloy.com and subscribing. Progressive Media, support it, please, especially folks like Malloy who are out there on the front lines fighting the good fight, no holds barred, and having me as his regular guest host, which is something that Gordon Peterson doesn't like at all, and that's one of the three reasons he gave, the one in most detail that he gave, for canceling his podcast subscription. I'm going to just finish. I'll let him explain the systems that he would like to see. He wants more computers rather than less in our election system. So let me just try to wrap this back end up here. So Brad's obsession with throwing out the computers, this is Gordon's email, throwing out the computer simply diverts attention from where the real problem is and fixing that to some place where the problem is less real. Please understand that I'm at least as concerned about election integrity, a trustworthy, honest, robust election that everyone can respect as anybody. That's why I've worked so many elections, and in doing so, I've learned a lot about how the process actually works. And as a computer system designer and consultant working in the industry for more than 35 years, I invented the world's first commercially available local area network, for example, he says. I'm better than most at developing robust, trustworthy, auditable computer-based systems. That is how to make elections good. Not by knee-jerked, half-ass crap about, quote, getting rid of all the damned computers, which is only designed to appeal to technophobic nitwits and Luddites who are even less thoughtful, intelligent, and discerning than Brad Friedman is on these issues. For the record, Gordon, I spent 10 years of my life as a computer programmer, making my living as one. It's somewhat silly to call me a technophobe or a Luddite, but anyway. Anyhow, these reasons are why I'm reluctantly asking you to reverse my credit card charge for my podcast. I do wish you all the best, and I hope that you'll stop crucifying Democrats. While we are certainly not all perfect, we are a whole F of a lot better than the others and the only electable alternative to the blatantly evil Republicans. If you want to make the Democratic Party better, you should be pushing people to get involved in the party the way I have been and put your efforts and muscle to throwing out the bums and making sure that the democratic process produces better candidates and better elected officials. I do wish that you'd also find someone less stupidly politically and election-wise clueless to guest host your show than Brad Friedman is. For you to hand your microphone over to him as often as you do, and without anybody present to counter his stupid BS, had to censor that there, BS, really doesn't improve my confidence in what your show presents. Hugs and love to you and yours, Mike. I really hope that you'll take some of what I'm saying here to heart. Gordon Peterson, then he gives his website address and so on and so forth. We should have somebody present to counter my stupid BS, and to do exactly that, I'm joined by Dallas-based computer programmer, system designer, longtime dedicated Democratic Party activist and poll worker who believes we need more computers rather than less in our electoral system, the author of that letter to Mike Malloy that you just heard me reading and responding to, Gordon Peterson, joins us. Good evening, sir. How are you? And welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Well, good evening. How are you?
I'm okay. Gordon, I tried to be as fair as I could with that letter, and I want to give you a time, full time, of course, to respond to my comments. I do want to thank you, by the way, very much for being a poll worker for all of these years and an activist and speaking out and speaking your mind. Okay, what did I get wrong throughout that letter? Do you take any... Do you have any criticism for my responses to your letter? And we'll start there.
Well, let's start with what you were talking about a little bit earlier here in the show, where you were talking about that I was favoring unauditable and unverifiable computer systems.
Right.
I think the important thing is that the election produces, first of all, absolutely unambiguously marked paper ballots that can be completely tamper-proof, and that can be, if you wish, you can hand count them or whatever.
Okay, well, let me stop you there, Gordon, then ask you.
Okay.
So when you say completely unambiguous, I presume you mean printed by the computer, right?
Yes, I believe
okay.
The computer ought to... Basically, what I favor is a dual-stage computer system where you start out by having a computer that the voter will interact with that could be touchscreen or whatever, and that would... lead the voter through the ballot, make sure that they do not overvote, make sure that they do not do unintentional undervote.
What happens, by the way, what happens when the touchscreen doesn't work, when it, like, the power goes down or it doesn't boot up?
Well, in that case, the voter is going to know about that, aren't they?
Yeah, how are they going to vote?
Generally, they will vote either on a different machine. I mean, the touchscreen machines that we use here in Dallas County.
Yeah.
Okay. They have battery backups in them. They can work in the absence of electrical power for several hours.
Right. You guys, by the way, you guys down there in Dallas County, as I recall, you use the ES&S Ivotronic touchscreens, the ones that lost some 18,000 votes recently, back in 2006 in Sarasota, and the ones that inexplicably gave the election to Alvin Green in South Carolina, as I recall.
Let me make it clear that what I'm proposing, we can talk about particular models of machines, but I do not consider any of the current crop of election equipment as perfect. I see there are various advantages to some of the equipment that they have today. There's things that we can learn from that. There's things that we can do better. So I'm not proposing that we use any of the existing systems. What I'm proposing is a new system.
New computers.
Basically a new system, which would combine the best features of the current touchscreen type systems and the best features. Currently what we have here in Dallas County is we use the Ivotronic on early voting, primarily because in early voting here in Dallas County, you can vote anywhere at any voting location.
But again, I'm wondering how you if they don't boot up, how you vote. Now, you say you can use a different machine, but if you look back at South Carolina, the Republican primary in 2006 in Horry County, all of the touchscreen machines across the county would not boot up until something like noon. The governor of New Jersey, famously, on Super Tuesday in 2008 at his precinct in Hoboken, none of the touchscreen voting machines booted up at all. So how would those people vote on a touchscreen machine that has that problem?
I can't speak to those because I don't know what the issues were with those.
They wouldn't turn on.
Okay. Well, it is obviously a very difficult problem if you have a whole bunch of independent, separate computers, which all of which won't work. Okay, but that is obviously that would be a terrible problem. But a good system that won't occur. Okay.
So, like a what? Like a one Microsoft Windows system or an Apple system that won't occur on any of those machines? You won't have any trouble booting up?
I would think that if you were to have a dozen computers and all of a sudden none of them would boot up, I think that would be a pretty unusual situation.
Well, it's not unusual because it happens all the time, but you're familiar with denial of service attacks, aren't you?
Denial of service attacks only work if the computers are linked together by somebody who is able to interfere with their operation.
Or if it's done through a programming card that is used on all of the voting machines in the precinct. But or if, by the way, if somebody just comes in, knocks over, and pushes them over because they don't like them, and then nobody can vote. But let's move beyond that, and let's say
the same thing could occur if somebody comes in and steals all the ballots too. I mean, walks off with all the ballots. I mean, there's a whole variety.
Wait, Gordon. Somebody walks away with all the ballots. If they walk away with all the ballots, you can get more ballots for one thing. But to get another 10 or 20 machines.
You can't get all the ballots immediately. If somebody were to come in, I mean, obviously, in the times I've been working as an election judge, yeah. I've been working as an election judge for more than 10 years.
Okay.
I've never seen the kind of massive disruption of the election process that you're concerned about. And I'm not saying that it doesn't
occur. Well, you know what? There's a lot that you don't see. Well, one, you didn't see what happened in Horry County, South Carolina. Secondly,
I can't speak about what's happening there.
If
we're going to talk about a good, robust election system, let's not talk about the current election systems, which obviously have had problems. They use Diebold equipment, and Diebold equipment obviously has had a number of issues.
Well, actually, I'm speaking over you, not because I'm trying to cut you off, but because we have constraints of commercial radio here. So, and we're not just speaking of Diebold computers. You used ESNS down there in Dallas, and those are actually the most notoriously bad machines. But so are Hart Enter Civic and Sequoia, and they all flip everybody's votes. But let's say we make them work the way you think they should work, these touchscreen machines. Then they print out the ballot.
Let's talk about that before we run out our hour talking about problem cases with other election systems. Why don't we talk about how to make the election system robust?
That's what I'm working on. I'm moving on. Hang on. I'm moving on to another point that you made, which is okay. Forget the touchscreens. Let's say they work fine, and they print out a ballot, an unambiguous ballot as you described. Correct. That's what you'd like to see, right?
And then the voter verifies that paper ballot represents their vote. Everything is marked exactly the way the voter is the only person that can really determine that the vote is the way they intended to vote.
Okay.
They're the only one who knows.
All right. Are you familiar with
that the printed paper ballot represents their vote. That's their confirmation.
Understood. Now, are you familiar with the Caltech MIT study that found that 80% of voters who have their ballots printed out with their touchscreens, 80% of them don't check the printout at the end of the process. Are you familiar with that study?
I would suggest that at some point you deal with statistical certainty, okay? At some point you deal with statistical certainty. I mean, when you do a process that involves hand-checking a certain percentage of the precincts, if you check at random some percentage of them and if that percentage that you check is valid, then one can reasonably presume that an equivalent percentage of the other ones is valid if you don't see any problems.
Okay, I'm talking about 80%. You said that the voters will verify their own vote. 80% of them don't check those paper trails, according to Caltech MIT. Furthermore, a study at Rice University showed...
I don't know, and you don't know what the instructions were that those voters were given and how they were urged to check those ballots.
So you're
throwing out things saying, well, just suppose the voter doesn't check their ballot, and I'm saying, you know, we encourage them to do it.
Fine. All right, and I got to get to a break. I'm going to have you back, Gordon Peterson. But there's another study at Rice University which shows that
Gordon, I'm not going to let you talk about it unless you let me talk to you first as well.
A study at Rice
University. You're monopolizing the conversation, and you're not allowing us to discuss a good election system.
We're going to come back with Gordon Peterson, and we're going to talk about a good election system. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Two-thirds of those who are who do check their voting system at summary at the end don't notice vote flips. Rice University. Much more Brad in for Mike right after this.
Red, red wine, go to my head.
52 minutes after the hour here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike, my final night here this week, and maybe ever, if Gordon Peterson has anything to say about it. Mike Malloy will be joining you again next Monday night. Malloy Vision will return. All right, I'm speaking with Gordon Peterson, a Dallas-based computer systems designer, a dedicated longtime Democratic activist, poll worker, and who believes we need more computers rather than less in our electoral system. And he was willing to put his money where his mouth was by pulling away his money from Mike Malloy and the Mike Malloy podcast, because Mike has me as a guest host and we talk about these sorts of issues. But I'm bringing him back. Gordon, I'm bringing you back, and I just want to let you know we've got constraints because this is commercial radio. I'm not trying to monopolize the conversation. I want you to get in your points, but I did read your long, long email, almost all of it, in the first half of the show, and you want to talk about a system that works. I understand that. You brought up touchscreens. You want a better touchscreen than the ones that we use now. And I've talked about the concerns that I have. And no. Don't make me go all Bill O'Reilly on you here, Gordon. I don't want to have to pot you up and down, all right? Just listen. You brought up touchscreens. I brought up my concerns with those, that they don't work, but you say we can make them better. Okay, granted, we can make them better. You want printed ballots that are unambiguous because you believe ballots marked are ambiguous, despite what I had mentioned earlier about Franken Coleman Ray's millions of ballots. Everybody agreed on all but like 8 ballots out of 3 million. Now, when it comes to printing your ballots, there's a study that shows, several studies, MIT Caltech says people don't check their paper printed receipts. Rice University says of those who do, 2/3 don't notice that they have been vote flips. And in my own case, Gordon, I had 4 out of 12 of my own votes misprinted by the computer, and I almost didn't notice myself. Finally, and I'll let you respond, finally, even if everyone looks at their computer-printed ballot, and we know they don't, we know 80% of them don't, even if those who did notice vote flips, and we know that 2/3 of them don't, even if they were all completely accurate, there is no way for me to know after an election that any voter did any of those things. I can't be guaranteed that I'm looking at voter intent. So, how do you respond to that criticism?
Again, I wish that you would allow me to present my system that I propose instead of going and looking at individual points based upon, for example, studies that were done where there is nobody knows how the voters were instructed, what they were told about verifying their ballot.
Mm-hmm.
The voter is the only person who can verify that the ballot that they marked represents their vote.
That's not true.
We have voters all the time.
Gordon. That's not true.
Who else do you think can verify that the ballot is marked the way it wants to be marked? The voter's the only one who knows how they wanted to vote.
If you mark a ballot and you put it in a box and I'm watching you do it and then I open that box and there is a ballot, I know that it has been marked by you. It is, without a question, your intent.
The voters make mistakes when they mark their ballots all the time.
That's right.
And we have to give them another ballot because they say, oh, I mismarked my ballot.
I need to
go ahead and remark my ballot. Okay,
that happens
all the time.
No problem.
The important thing is that we need to have, number one, the system that marks the ballot needs to produce a ballot that the voter can verify. That system needs to produce a results tape, and we need to produce an additional set of results tapes from that system. Then when the voter's done, I propose that instead of just putting it into a box, I mean, first of all, in Texas at least, the law is that you cannot expose that voter's vote. You couldn't put it in a clear box because you cannot allow another voter who comes after them to see how a previous voter
voted. You got one more minute.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. So, yeah, because you've taken up most of my time. But anyway.
Gordon,
use the counter. You use the counter. Then you slide the ballot into a counter system.
Uh-huh.
That produces another set of tapes. Now, I propose that at the end of the evening, when you close the polls, the election judge takes and hands one set of those tapes from the polling location, signed by the judge, signed by the clerk, hands one set at the drop-off location to a representative of the Democratic Party, one set to a representative of the Republican Party, and that they
Hang on. I'm going to keep you back for a few more minutes after the hour here, okay? If you want to get in, anybody else, 877-520-1150. Essentially, you would like two different sets of tapes scanned by two different computers for accuracy, a whole bunch more computers.
Right.
And, okay.
We'll discuss it.
We'll have only a few minutes when we come back. Understand? Because I got to get to folks. People want to ring in on this, and I have tried to be fair and read your as much of your letter as I could. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy with Gordon Peterson, who don't like me. Stay with us. One more hour straight ahead. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show, or as we call it, MMS. But don't tell Malloy I said that. No, it's not the Minerals and Management Service Radio. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigator, blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker for our final hour here tonight as the sun sets on the West Coast from beautiful downtown Burbank. Finishing out our week here, sitting in for Mike. Mike and Kathy will return with Malloy Vision coming up on Monday. And they'll be rested and relaxed. And I bet Mike's going to have a few thoughts, a few things to say when he gets back, re-energized. Gordon Peterson is going to be with us here for just another minute or two, and I'll explain who he is if you're just joining the show. But I do want to say, I want to make sure that everyone understands the quid pro quo we are offering here tonight. If you follow me tonight on the Twitters, my name is The Brad Blog over there. You will get a free Friends Friday from me for whatever that's worth. And I know it ain't much, but you'll get it. You should follow us over at on Twitter at The Brad Blog. It's a lot of fun there. And our chat room is still open at bradblog.com. And it's very lively. A lot of comments. I'm trying to keep up with them all. Jeannie Dean and Desi Doyen are holding down the fort there, and we will momentarily be taking your calls on any damn thing you want to talk about, because these are your airwaves. Use them or lose them more than you already have already. 877-520-1150. You can comment on the discussion we've been having with Gordon or anything else. 877-520-1150. Okay, just to reset here, Gordon is a computer systems designer, a longtime dedicated Democratic Party activist from Dallas. He's a poll worker. He believes we need more computers rather than less in our electoral system. And he's so angry that I'm calling for things like transparent, hand-counted ballots at the polling place, at the precinct, something that his email to Mike didn't seem to understand, that he canceled his podcast subscription because he's sick and tired of that nitwit and Luddite, technophobic nitwit and Luddite, Brad Friedman, who is election-wise clueless, sitting in as his guest host. So I hope you'll make up for Gordon by getting a podcast subscription. Come on, people. Make me look good to Mike. Go over to MikeMalloy.com. Get a podcast subscription. It's cheap. Cheaper for a whole year than 1 month of lousy, crappy cable. Okay, Gordon. All right. Gordon, I'm going to give you one more segment here, and then I got to let you go. I've tried to be fair. I read your four-page email almost in full. Have you read any studies concerning electronic voting? I know I've referenced some.
Brad, you need to let me discuss the system, describe my system so the people who are listening to your show understand what I'm proposing.
Okay, this is not an academic. Hang on. This is not an academic forum, but if you can do it in 30 seconds, then you can go ahead.
Okay. First of all, the first system, the first computer system, the voters vote their ballot. They get a ballot which is printed and unambiguous, tamper-proof paper ballot. They verify that vote. Okay, you instruct them suitably how to do that. You make sure the ballot is printed such that they can reasonably expect to verify it. After they're done, they put the ballot into a counter system. The counter system will count it and collect it. At the end of the evening, you produce a counter tape from both the system that printed the ballot and from the system that counted the ballots. Those tapes are produced in like six copies. Four of them go to the county. Two of them one set of tapes from each system is handed to a representative of the Democratic Party, one to a representative of the Republican Party, so they can independently tally the vote, which then should agree between the two systems and should agree with what the county reports at the end of the night. If they don't, then you know you've got a problem. Then you know you have to go and
what do you do?
Do a recount.
What do you do?
Then you go and you recount the paper ballot.
And if they don't,
the ballots that the users have voted,
uh-huh,
and verified. And if you don't, then the parties would do whatever they would do if they feel that the election has been done incorrectly. I think that the important thing is that the process be transparent, that it be tamper proof,
mm-hmm,
How
can it be transparent? How is an optical scanner and a touchscreen system transparent?
Because you have a hard copy, uh-huh, you have a hard copy ballot that the voter verified before they deposited in the scanner.
And how do you know they verified
it? Different.
How do you know they verified it?
You strongly encourage them to.
How do you know they verified it?
You don't know. If you give them a paper ballot and a pen, you don't know that they marked it the way they want it to begin with. Okay? The important thing is that the
Wait. You mean they got dizzy and they didn't mark it the way they wanted to?
Voters often make mistakes,
right,
when they mark a ballot.
And okay, if they make mistakes, Gordon, you got to let me get in, okay? I've let you speak. I said 30 seconds. I gave you 3 minutes. If they make mistakes, that's their mistake. If the computer, if ESNS, if Diebold, if Gordon Peterson Computer Productions makes a mistake, that's an entirely different matter. Now,
It's unlikely that both of the two systems,
mm-hmm,
especially if they're produced by different companies,
that
the stage one and the stage two system would make the same errors so that their tapes would agree.
Okay.
The important thing is also that any manipulation of the vote at the county level, mm-hmm, must be detectable, and the way you do that is by producing a set of counter tapes and two sets of counter tapes, so that you give one to each party. They can verify that their totals from their spreadsheets at the end of the night match what the county reports, and then when those are consolidated, that the state party totals reflect and agree with what the state Secretary of State reports at the end of the night. That prevents what happened in Ohio
in
2004.
Okay, now it sounds to me like you're delivering a pizza with a Mack truck here, or as John Boehner might say, atomic killing, using an atomic bomb to kill an ant. I say you take a piece of paper, you mark it, you put it in a box, you count it in front of everybody before the ballots ever move anywhere.
If you have 650 polling locations,
mm-hmm,
it is not at all reasonable to presume that you're going to count the ballots at 650 polling locations all over a big county like Dallas County.
Okay.
That is unrealistic, and it's unrealistic to presume that. I mean, you have enough trouble as it is getting people to work.
I got to let you go. I got a lot of callers on the line, but have you read any electronic voting studies, as I asked you earlier?
I have read many, many things about electronic voting.
What have you read?
I got to let you go. I'm the moderator of the Clean ESS Elections Yahoo group. I have been
Clean
been
ESS Elections. Have you read any studies on electronic voting, like from Livermore Labs or from Johns Hopkins University?
I have read heavily on these on issues.
All right.
As far as individual elections, I mean, certainly if you don't know what instructions the voters were given, you can't determine how they're going to respond.
Okay.
To those.
All right. Thanks, Gordon. I've looked at a lot of systems. I've looked at your system, many of them that have been presented to me just like that, and as I tried to point out to you throughout, there are all kinds of problems.
What is the weakness in the system I propose?
Well, I went through one by one. I went through
the objection that you had was that you said, well, you can't count on the fact that the voters are going to verify the ballot that the machine.
I will answer it if you let me answer it. I will. I've already done it. Apparently, you weren't listening. But A, the touchscreens that don't boot up. B, the fact that you can't know know that the voter has verified the ballot. C, if there's a power outage, if there's a denial of service attack, the millions of dollars that are being spent for two different computer companies to run, private computer companies to run our public elections. I could go on and on, but this is a commercial radio show for human beings. It's not an academic forum. We can continue at another time. I've got open comments every damn day at bradblog.com where you can come and discuss this issue. But instead, you went to Mike Malloy and told him that I was a technophobic nitwit and a Luddite, despite the fact that I have been a computer programmer for 10 goddamn years and that I'm election-wise clueless. And so you canceled your podcast subscription, which is your right. And I tried to give you a way to talk and to air your grievances. But, you know, don't tell me that I'm not allowing you to air your grievances. I've got 10 people on the line who would like to respond, and I do appreciate your time, Gordon, very much. Any closing comments you have in 30 seconds, and I mean it this time.
Okay, as I said, I wish that you would allow me to present my system.
You have done that,
sir.
You have done that, and you can leave it in comments at BradBlog. I've got to go, Gordon, but I do thank you for your time, and I mean it. Thank you for being a poll worker and for speaking up. You can get more information on Gordon Peterson at personal.terabytes.com. Terabytes is spelled T-E-R-A-B-I-T-E-S, personal.terabytes.com. Gordon, thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take some of your calls. Should I go to a break first and come back? Yeah, let's go to a break first. We're going to come back. A lot of folks who want to respond to Gordon. And like I said, anything else you want to talk about, if we can get it in. See, I don't have a show every damn week. So this stuff piles up. And, what are we going to do? We're going to get to when we come back. Yeah, I know. Tom in Bullhead, Arizona, an election official who wants to ring in. Over in the chat room, someone, I know I missed who it was, but said you can't count electrons in public. That's true. It is concealed vote counting. Let's see. Somebody asked, how does he keep central tabulators secure from corrupt insiders? Well, that's a good point. I remember the last election official who told me that I should trust him. That was Tony Anchundo, the Monterey County Registrar of Voters out here in California. He said, Brad, he said this on air, to a certain extent, we have to trust our election officials. Well, about 3 months later, Tony Anchundo was charged with 43 different crimes to which he pled no contest. No reason to trust anybody in elections, citizen oversight, and all of that. Brad in for Malloy, your calls coming up next.
One of these days that it won't be long, you look for me, but baby, I'll be gone. This is all I gotta say.
All of my life I have searched for clarity. I have wrestled with two paths buried deep inside of me. I lost some rounds, been knocked around, felt my share of defeat. Yet somehow I've always managed to get back on my feet.
Back on my feet, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Our closing hour here tonight. Glad you can join us. 22 minutes after the hour. Got a boatload of phone callers here, so but you can still get in at 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150 if you have any comments on that last hour or anything else. I'm going to try to get to as many as I can, so keep your comments nice and short if possible so I can try to get to everyone and more. Tom in Bullhead City, Arizona, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great.
Yeah, you're great, Brad. I heard your broadcast from 2008 was on a thing, and it was just great. I mean, I'm thrilled by it. I've called Kathy and Mike both and commented how you were really great.
Bless you, sir. That makes up for Gordon who don't like me. So thank you, sir.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
I've got a plan, so you got to listen.
All right. I know. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't want to cut you off.
Anyway, yeah, I'm an election official in Mojave County. I work for a guy named Alan Tempert, and he has advocated vocally that these nut jobs who are against the Diebold machines
yeah.
are nut jobs. Anyway.
And, well, so, you mean you used to work for them. I'm not sure if you do anymore now, Tom.
You're right. I sent him a nice little letter. Anyway.
Why are we nut jobs?
Well, you know, you watch BrassCheck.com or Brave New Films or any of that stuff,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you get those, what they call conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Well, they're actually kind of right.
That they're conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Well yeah, sure.
No, they're actually kind of right that they're not conspiracy theories.
No, okay, I see what you mean. Well, here's the thing. When it comes to these, you know, I'm not sure what conspiracy I'm suggesting. I know that I'm looking at studies from Livermore Labs, from, Johns
right.
Hopkins, from all of these
right.
universities and so
and
forth.
And the guy who owns the Diabolical Machines in Florida are a group of Colombians, or I'm sorry, not Colombians, but the one with Hugo Chavez. What's
yeah,
that?
Venezuelans, and it's Venezuela, Sequoia, yeah. And now they're owned, they just got purchased by Dominion,
right.
Who also bought Diabolical. Yeah.
And
right.
So I was part of the movement in 2004
yep.
to actually get the machines, because they quoted it in such a way that they said they voted so that people with disabilities can vote. This would help people who have handicaps
yep.
vote. And I was like, okay, I'm a softy liberal. And I said, yeah, that sounds good,
yep.
right?
Yep. That's what they did.
And that's how we got in.
That was the scam. That was the scam. Tom, listen, I got to run. I do appreciate your call. I hate to cut you off, but I want to try to get to as many as
okay,
I can.
Bye.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it. All right, let's go to, and he's absolutely right. If you weren't in favor of electronic voting, it was because you hated blind people. And now, by the way, just so you know, if you hate internet voting, the next nightmare, it's because you hate the troops. Because they're using them to, they're using our troops as guinea pigs in live elections for internet voting now. It's, an outrage. Steven in Burbank, welcome to the Molloy Show. What's up, sir?
Oh, yes, Brad. I hope this isn't too radical. I wonder what you would think about a procedure whereby at the polling place, the citizen can waive the right to a secret ballot, bring the camera into the cubicle, have it posted on the wall.
Yeah.
I'd like to send the sample ballot to the DNC. Let them know that I voted for peace and freedom.
You can already do that. You can vote absentee. The problem is not waiving your secret ballot. The problem is, and I got to run, Stephen. I do appreciate the call. Thanks. The problem is that you can buy and sell your votes that way. That's why you don't leave the precinct with a receipt. And by the way, that's just one of the reasons why vote by mail is such a terrible idea. I'm sure we'll be getting calls from Oregon at any moment. Prez in Santa Rosa, I got 30 seconds before I got to get to a break.
Okay, Brad, and I'll honor that, too. Thanks for the good work you do.
Thank you, sir.
I would say my main comment would be that if Gordon was invested in Eurosticks for 35 years, we'd be using Eurosticks to vote with. But I would say this, we need to get voting out of being a business. That's the major problem with campaigning and voting, period. The computers, we don't need them. I want to make my own hard copy, thank you very much, with a pencil and a piece of paper.
I vote for you, Prez. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your call. All right, more of your calls straight ahead. Of course, yeah, he's right on the money. Get the corporations the hell out of our elections. Why have we privatized our elections? Am I the conspiracy theorist? Jesus. 877-520-1150. We will talk about anything, by the way. Not just voting, e-voting, but apparently that's what you guys want to talk about. 877-520-1150. Now is your chance to get in. We're going to go to Bill in Cleveland, who's sad about LeBron and Betty in Albuquerque and all that straight ahead. You're listening to Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com on the Mike Molloy Show. Go get a podcast.
While I wait for you, well, I've been down so goddamn long that it looks like up to me. Well, I've been down so very damn long.
Yeah, I hear you, Tone. Tony's been waiting all goddamn week to play that song. I can hardly blame you. All right, round in the corner here, 34 minutes after the hour. Our last hour on the Mike Molloy Show this week. Mike and Kathy will return next week. So if you're looking for some Brad, no, I don't. For those people who have asked, no, I don't have a regular radio show. I'm just a blogger. I'm just a guy. I'm a citizen, a friendly citizen, blogger, investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all the rest. But I do sit in from time to time as Mike's guest host, as long as he will continue to have me, and on other folks' shows as well. All right, 877-520-1150. Going to try to get to everyone. These are your public airwaves. Use them or lose them even more than you already have. Give us a call. Hey, Bill in Cleveland, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, Bill.
It's Bill of Rights, man. Cleveland, Ohio, home of the stolen 2004 election.
That's what I hear. There was problems, I hear, out there. Cuyahoga County is Cleveland, right?
Oh, gosh. You know, Mike, where is the, you know, they never released any of that.
Yeah, no, they didn't. What was it, 56 out of 88 counties who were told to retain their ballots after the 04 election by a federal judge suddenly didn't for some reason. Anyway, Bill, what's on your mind? I want to get to everyone. So.
Yeah, the dog ate my homework, and I, you know, comment a little bit later about Jennifer Bruner, who she's our Secretary of State right now, but.
Yep.
Didn't happen, you know. Whatever happened with that, I don't know.
Well,
you know, Gordon is like probably the lamest alleged.
Well, he
know,
look, he built he mean, he means
programmer guy he, because you know the fact is that you know up in Youngstown in 2004 people were pressing carry it keeps coming up Bush.
No, but hey, Bill, his plan he means well. I believe he means
that,
well. But what
fine.
His plan is to have a system that won't do that, a system that works well. That when you press carry, it's going to come out for carry. How he gets such a system remains unknown.
This poppycock computer that marks your ballot thing is so much crap. And the thing is that, like, look, if I got a pen and I got a piece of paper and I mark, president, you know, I'm going to circle that little dot in real good.
Thanks, Bill. I got to go. I hear you.
The other thing, Brad, is...
What, Bill?
The other thing is, you know, I heard David Cobb... on a couple of different shows, Citizens United system, and everybody go to movetoamend.org.
Well done, Bill. I agree. There you go. There's good use of your airwaves. Movetoamend.org. Couldn't agree more. 877-520-1150. Betty in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Betty.
Thank you, Bradley. You've shown remarkable restraint tonight, especially with Gordon.
Oh.
You're a good man. It's quite obvious. Gordon may very well have good intentions, but I've got to say, any real, and I emphasize real, Democrat who would advocate on behalf of a system that brought us the likes of George Bush, not only once, but twice, something's wrong there.
Well, you better talk to the folks in South Carolina, the Democrats, Democratic Party out there, because they advocated for it. And by the way, so do some of your wasn't she a Democrat, your Secretary of State, who just left under a cloud of shame not too long ago?
Our Secretary of State out here in New Mexico?
Yeah. And I'm forgetting her name, and so I don't want to get it wrong.
You know what? I'm not remembering either.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Okay.
But you know what? Still in all, I truly believe what I'm saying. That's why I emphasize real Democrat. oddly enough, I'm from the area that your last caller just called from.
Uh-huh. Cleveland.
I was born and raised in Ohio.
Oh, you got out.
I surely did. And I'm
congratulations.
My grandfather and father are rolling in their graves because they were diehard Democrats from way back when my grandfather was mayor of the town in which I was born and raised back during Prohibition.
I hear you. Thanks, Betty. I appreciate your call tonight.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Any Democrats who would advocate, that's the issue. Remember what I was talking about in the first hour? It's a matter of holding the right people accountable. And the right people right now happen to be Democrats because they happen to be in power. They could pass an election reform bill tomorrow if they really wanted to. They don't want to. They support these electronic machines. Even Rush Holt, the Democrat from New Jersey, who has an election reform bill, wants to essentially, you know, will succeed if that bill ever moves forward in institutionalizing secret vote counting and secret software in federal public elections. I think that's just insane, but what do I know? I'm just a nitwit, technophobic nitwit and Luddite. Let's go to, Sonia in Marin County, California. Welcome to the show, Sonia.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you? What's up?
Fine. I've been enjoying your show.
Thank you very much, Sonia.
I'm glad you're on.
Thank you.
About the voting.
Let Malloy know, because, you know, he's got that letter from Gordon, and boy, Gordon canceled his podcast subscription and everything else. So let the Malloys know and get a podcast subscription. All right. Go ahead, Sonia.
All right. We have a lot of people out of work, and we don't need to buy two or three backup voting systems,
yep,
electronic systems, one to check the other, to check the other, to check the other.
Yeah.
And then we don't need to ship the ballots, part of them to the Democratic Party, part of them to the Republican Party. All we need is a paper ballot, more people to count them, and a few more days to count them so they don't have to be done tonight. And then, there you go.
Well,
people go to work, the ballots are safe, the ballots have, they have time to count them. End of story.
That's elegantly simple, Sonia. I'll only correct you on one point. It doesn't take a number of days. If it takes a number of days, you've done something wrong. You need smaller polling places.
Oh, okay.
Count them that night before those ballots move anywhere, before they leave that precinct.
I see.
They do it all over New Hampshire and elsewhere and all around the world, really. And if they can do it, we can too.
So that's the motivation for that.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I always wonder what the hurry was.
They claim that it's faster, but in truth, up in New Hampshire, where they do it in 40% of the jurisdictions, a lot of those jurisdictions finish before the electronic voting systems do.
So it's just a matter of splitting it up to smaller areas of responsibility
if need be.
The count done.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or let's find out. Let's try it. Sonia, I got to run. I really appreciate your call.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to, do we have time? Yeah, we got time. Let's go to, 877-520-1150 is our number. If you want to get in, you still got some time. I got a couple of open lines, 877-520-1150. On anything you want to talk about, and I mean it, we do a segment called Ask Brad, where you can ask a question and I'll answer it or I won't. We'll do that too. All right, Katie, I got you. Thanks for holding. You're on the Mike Malloy Show. What's up, Katie?
It's me, Katie, in San Francisco. Hey, you did a good job tonight to talk to Gordon, but it's a lost cause, as you know. He keeps talking over and over again about how the voter can't be trusted when he marks a paper ballot. That is so false. Otherwise, we've got a couple hundred years of ballots where people are hand-marking them. We wouldn't have a democracy without paper ballots being marked by hand. So that's ridiculous. The other thing is, you know, who's doing the counting? What software is being used to tabulate the votes and to print out those tapes? It's software. The whole point of democracies is counting votes.
Well,
I
concur, of course, but his system, what he's suggesting is that he does have software counts because he uses a ballot marking device, a touchscreen system that prints out a ballot that is then scanned and by two different machines, and it's never actually counted except for a couple. You count some of them maybe later as an audit. But so it's machine counted, but there would be a paper ballot to go back and count after this incredibly complicated system, but it just introduces so many access points for malfunction, for hackability. It's just, it's crazy. That's my opinion, though. Katie,
you got to go. It sounds like a particular electronic voting machine solution that's been proposed out here in Half Moon Bay.
Yeah.
And we know who they are. But the other thing is, come on, guys. look, European countries are throwing electronic voting systems out.
Yep.
They are getting rid of them.
Yep.
Germany's Supreme Court said you can't have a democracy if the voting is done by secret software where the public cannot, is not, we are not computer programmers. We don't want to be. We don't have to, you know, there's no way anybody can go through the thousands of lines of code and then the backdoor hacks. We can't do it.
You are very well read, and it sounds like you're paying attention, Katie. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Hey, Brad, keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. All right, moving on. Lines are filling up, but we'll try to get everybody in if we're lucky. 877-520-1150. Keep your comments, if you can, short and sweet, and then we can get more people in on their democracy here on the airwaves. Brian from Manchester, New Hampshire. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hi, Brad. I wanted to talk about the latest Social Security fixed draconian Social Security Commission under this misguided corporatist young president Barack Obama. He needs to get rid of Rahm Emanuel and Geithner and Summers from being his advisors. But the fact is, and another caller made a point. I've been trying a couple of nights to get in about this subject, Brad, and made fun of Al Gore about the masseuse allegations.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Tipper Gore says that had nothing to do with the reason they broke up, the separation. But the fact is, Al Gore talked about the lockbox, yes, in the 2000 campaign, and then the stolen election, Bush v. Gore, happened in December 12, 2005. U.S. Supreme Court justices acting impeachably, the 5-4 decision to stop the people of Florida from their vote counts. But the fact is, in the Clinton administration just preceding Al Gore, who should have been the duly elected president in January 2001, he should have been sworn into office. In 1998, 1999, and 2000, the national budgets of the Clinton administration, the U.S. government budgets, had honest surpluses where they didn't have to touch one single penny of the American workers' Social Security surplus amounts there. And that's something that George W. Bush and the libertarians out there, the social Darwinists out there, they don't want to hear about Social Security. They hate it because it protects
Brian,
the American workers.
I got to go. Good job. That was a whole bunch of words that I do appreciate you using them here on the airwaves. Thank you, Brian. Good talking to you. Good hearing from you, brother. All right, we got to get to a break, and we're back for our final segment. I will try to get on as many folks as I can, as time allows. What I started to say before I got distracted was that I don't, I don't have my own show. So if you want to find me, I'll be sitting there at bradblog.com doing my blogging thing that I do, my investigation thing, and appearing on folk shows as they'll have me. Until Malloy will bring me back again, if he's interested, or anybody else. But thank you all, by the way, all week long for the nice comments and emails you've been sending in. It has been my pleasure to be here, and I hope you've enjoyed having me here. All right, one more break. Coming back, a couple more calls, and then we out of here. Tony wants to go get barbecue. You're listening to Brad on the Malloy Show.
I'll never forget the people I met braving those angry skies. I remember well as the shadows fell, the light of hope in their eyes. And though I'm far away, I still can hear them say, thumbs up. Or when the dawn comes up, there'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show.
Tomorrow,
Brad Friedman in from bradblog.com for one more segment. My thanks tonight to my guests, Clint Curtis. You can get more information on him at clintcurtis.com up there in the 4th District. And Gordon Peterson. I do, sir, appreciate the time, even if you don't care for me. Also, my thanks, of course, to engineer Tony Sorrentino all week long, kicking it here at LA's K-Talk AM 1150. Some killer music, some killer tunes. Bless you, sir. We'll get you your barbecue in just a few minutes. My producer and sidekick and chat room hostess and call screener tonight, Desi Doyen. Thank you, Des. Jeannie Dean at bradblog.com in the chat room, which was this week, whether they knew it or not, sponsored by Post Haste Sound here in Los Angeles, because they let Jeannie Dean go and, you know, goof off for a few hours and mind the chat room. Thank you, Post Haste Sound here in Los Angeles. Let's see. Oh, yeah. My thanks, of course, to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit in here for the entire week. I have enjoyed it muchly. I hope you've enjoyed your vacation. And for those people who are wondering, he will be back with Malloy Vision next Monday. All right. If you're listening via MikeMalloy.com, by the way, please stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid following this broadcast. A couple more calls, and I'll ask you to be short and sweet. Thank you. David in San Clams Disco. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad. How are you?
I'm okay.
You know, it's funny. Was I actually talking to Desi Doyen? I've heard her name forever, and I didn't realize it.
You have? You've heard her name because you're listening to Green 960, and they play our Green News Report, probably.
A famous figure.
That's
and,
right.
You know, it's funny, ever since...
if you're not familiar with the report, by the way, greennews.bradblog.com. Okay, continue,
yeah.
David.
Go. Well, worth hearing, too. I'd been trying to talk to Kathy forever, ever mm-hmm. since her surgery many months ago, but the lines are always jammed. Many months, it's been hard to get through on his show in normal circumstances.
Easy to get through to me, no problem.
Yeah, I know. I hate to underrate you, because, you know, you've been pretty good on you know this acorn business.
Yes, sir.
I talked to you a number of months ago when some of the exposés were emerging a couple of months ago.
Yep.
And that was actually before O'Keefe got arrested for mm-hmm. trying to go into Senator
Landrieu's office. Yeah.
That's right. Now,
let me ask you to get straight to your point here, Dave, because we're up against the clock.
One of the compadres of them was the son of the U.S. district attorney down there in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And
then all that, the acting U.S. attorney, the acting U.S. attorney in Louisiana, Western District.
Right, yeah. And so what I'm leading up to is with that incident, you know, obviously we've got to get some lawsuits against BP and a lot of corporate criminals down there. And if there's no prosecution of the boy, then obviously there's something strange going on with the father. And so I'm just wondering if you've got any updates specifically regarding that.
Let me give it to
aspect
you. Well, let me give it to you, and I do appreciate the call, David. Thanks. Let's see. They pled guilty to misdemeanors. They were able to get it pleaded down from a felony to a misdemeanor. They'll do some public service, and that's that. But his father did recuse himself from the case for whatever that's worth. I have to give you short shrift there because we're almost out of time. Let me get one more. Jim in Riverside, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. Got like 20 seconds.
Brad, I'm going to donate 2 subscriptions just because this guy canceled his podcast subscription to the Mike Malloy Show.
Bless you, sir.
Yeah, tell him, you know, we got big supporters for Mike Malloy out here.
You rock, Jim. Thank you. And some great election integrity folks out there in Riverside.
Yep.
That's for sure. Yes, please do. Get yourself a podcast subscription to the Mike Malloy Show. For tonight, however, if you missed any portion of the show, I will post them all at bradblog.com for you to enjoy. But next week, you're going to need a podcast subscription. Support Progressive Radio. Support Malloy. I thank you all for your support of me all this week. It's been a joy to be here. Until I see you next time, you can find me at bradblog.com. Keep it lit, America.